So our next speaker is Lucas Stadler, and he's going to talk about zero overhead integration of R, JS, Ruby, and C for C++. Wow.
Thank you. So my name is Lucas Stadler. I'm the PI of the FastR project at Oracle Labs. And I have to say, I have a background in VM and compiler engineering. So this talk is probably going to be a bit different than the other talks. Okay, I have to show this slide. Obviously, this is research. Don't make any important decisions depending on it, of course. So usually I give a lengthy introduction on why programmers would want to use multiple programming languages, why this is important. But this is the R and other languages session after all, so I assume that this could be interpreted as using multiple languages concurrently. And in general, I believe that this is something that we're going to see more and more of programmers using multiple languages. And normally you would assume that these languages, I've just taken a few random ones here, you would assume that they can talk to each other. That makes, that's what you would want to use multiple languages for. And then they at least have to run, if this should be efficient, on the same operating system. And you probably also want to have them run in the same process, but this is not that easy. You're bound to get into trouble. For example, if some of the implementations of these programming languages use operating system signals for a certain feature, then it's hard to have multiple of these in the same process. And in general, this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to problems with combining these languages. And in general, what we think that is the reason why this communication is often so slow and complicated is that all these languages are very different and very separate systems. They have separate heaps, they have separate just-in-time compilers, they have separate runtimes. For the Ruby runtime is different than the Java runtime, and the JavaScript runtime is yet another system. So you can start to play around a bit. You've heard of JRuby, so we can use JRuby, and that's based on Java, so that kind of merges the two into one. JRuby then uses Java's heap, and it uses kind of Java's just-in-time compiler a bit, and the Ruby runtime is built on the Java runtime. Yeah, but it's still separated. You still have very explicit interfaces between Ruby and Java. And also, this interface is specific to Ruby and Java. It's not a generic interface. You could then go on and also pull JavaScript into the Java world using one of the JavaScript engines that are out there. But in essence, you just move complexity from outside the JVM into the JVM, and you still have this exponential number of interfaces between the languages. And they don't combine very well. So in essence, we see two problems here. Different languages are compiled completely separately, and they also have completely separated heaps. Because even in this example, where you have Ruby running inside Java, a Ruby object is a Ruby object, and a Java object is a Java object. There's no way to pass a Ruby object into the Java world and have it make sense there. And this is something that we want to solve with what we call the Truffle framework. This is supposed to be a framework for implementing languages that is built on Java technology, and all of these languages share a single just-in-time compiler, and they also share the same heap, and they all build on the Truffle runtime to build their own pieces of runtime that they need. And the R part of this is the FastR project. So that is what we are working on. Just a bit of information about Truffle. and Graal. Graal is the optimizing component in all of this. So we have Ruby, JavaScript, R, and LLVM bitcode as languages at the moment. And all of these are comparable in performance with the best of class of this language versus the hotspot server compiler, versus V8, versus static compilers. And all of this is using Java under the covers where it makes sense. And all of these things also have way better performance than any other Java-based solution. I could talk about many aspects of this. One of them is the instrumentation framework. So Truffle is also a single target for all your instrumentation, for your profilers, for your debuggers, for your coverage tools, and so on. And those work for all the languages and across all the languages. But I'd like to show you a demo of what this could look like. And I'm also praying to the demo gods here. Okay, so this is the R interpreter that's fast R. It looks like any other R interpreter, and it does what it's supposed to do. But I'd like to use something different here, a slightly different version. And that is the multilingual runtime. It's a REPL that supports JavaScript, R, and Ruby at the moment. LLVM is going to come soon. And in here, I'd like to use Ruby to get some data from a web service that provides me with temperatures. And I'd like to do some processing in R and then some outputting in JavaScript. And I'm going to show you what this looks like. So first of all, I need to switch to Ruby, simple as that. And then I will open the library, open weather, and do some configuration there. This is all not terribly interesting. And then I can just query it for some temperature. So let's see. Okay, so it's 18.3 degrees currently in Vienna. And now what I'm doing here is I'm creating myself a function that exposes this functionality. It's just a Ruby function called temp in city. And you give it the name and it gives you back the current temperature. And now comes the interesting part where I use Truffle functionality to export this function into a global namespace that's accessible to all the languages. So I'm doing interop export here and give it this function. Yes. And now I'm going to switch into R. And I mean, this is a fully fledged Ruby implementation and it's a fully fledged R implementation and it's an ECMAScript 6 compatible JavaScript implementation and so on. So these are very sophisticated language runtimes. It's not something that just converts to some other language under the hood. And in R, I can just import this function. So I take the Truffle functionality here and get myself the function. And then, well, I can call it to get the temperature in San Francisco at the current point in time. And all the communication that's happening under the hood is handled by Truffle in this case. And then I want to query for some more cities, so I'm getting myself some more functionality here and just get 10 cities out of this database. So I have a couple of cities. And then I can just use SSupply in this example to query the temperatures for all the cities in here. It takes a while because it has to go to some web server, and then I have all my temperatures. It's as simple as that. And I can even go further and then use my normal R logic. This doesn't really make sense. It's just to show that you can then go on, process your data using some R code. In this case, I'm just getting some more cities and doing some. I don't really have a statistical background, which is pretty obvious by now. And then I obviously the temperature only depends on the latitude of a city, and therefore I was able to get the temperature for all these cities. Okay, but enough of that. I'm going to continue doing some more stuff in JavaScript here. Let me see. This is another primitive in this truffle world. It's the eval. It's an interop eval that just allows me to evaluate something in a different language. So here I can just specify via the MIME type that I want to run some R code from JavaScript. And it happily does that. It printed out the values on the R side, but on the JavaScript side, it cannot really make sense of what this is because it's an R object and I'm in JavaScript. But I can query its properties, for example, the length, or get the elements in there. And yeah, so I'm writing myself a small function here, reval, that just calls this truffle primitive to run some R code from JavaScript. And I can then get the cities. So here I didn't import export, I used a different way. I just evaluate the piece of R code that gets me the cities. And again, this is a foreign object, so to speak, so I can query its properties, but temperature in this case is another R data structure because it's an R vector. But I can access individual elements in there. So what I'm going to do here is I'm using a function that exercises the JSON functionality in JavaScript, JSON stringify. That just means it gets a JavaScript data structure and it builds a JSON script, a JSON string out of it. And that's what I'm going to do now. Just getting a result array. And then I'm calling the JSONify on all of these. So now I have something in the result. That's all the JSON strings. And let's do this export import once more because I want to get this result into the R world. So let me go to R again. And here I'm importing it again. So now I have this JavaScript data structure in R. Good enough. What can I do with it? Well, simple R stuff. I can iterate over it and print it, or I can also use some package functionality and, for example, get digests for all the JSON strings. Okay, so this is, I think you should have seen a bit what the communication between the languages could look like. Now, I was promising something about speed. So, in order to judge the speed of the interop communication, you have to be aware of the baseline in FastR because, it's a bit different. So this is a function that again is not very useful. It gets a single random number, a specified number of times, and if I do this for a million elements, let's see how long it takes. This takes about 5-6 seconds on normal R. So it's faster here, but watch what happens when I call it again. Because in the background, this code gets compiled down. So now we are at 70 milliseconds for a million iterations. That's not so bad. Good. So I can do something similar in Ruby. In this case, just call the random rand function in Ruby. So if I combine the two, I get a new random function that does the interop eval into the Ruby world. Let's see how long that takes. And that is not slower, actually. And as soon as it's compiled, it's actually the same speed. So there's virtually no overhead here. And I can also do the same thing with JavaScript. Again, similar code in JavaScript. And if I just run it a couple of times, in the background, the compiler is kicking in and it's compiling my code. And then it's at the same speed. Okay. And that is the end of my presentation. I was promising some C, C++, but that's coming soon. It's a bit more tricky because it's actually LLVM bytecode. So it can run any language that's LLVM bytecode based. Okay, it's open source, it's on GitHub. You can download binaries from the Oracle Technology Network website. Thanks for your attention.
Thanks, Lucas. We have time for a couple of questions. Yes, please. Please repeat the question.
Okay, so I think the question was about C, C++ is a bit more specific because there you have specific pointer types and what happens to the arguments when you pass a different language object in there. So at the on the LLVM bytecode or C, C++ side, this is handled quite similarly. When you see a structure type on the native side, when you have a pointer of a specific type, then every access knows, for example, the name it's accessing, and that is then used to query the property with the same name from the object that it's getting. For example, if I had a C function that gets an array of doubles and I give it the temperature vector, and this is going to work because under the covers it sees that it's that it can make the same accesses to this double vector than it can to a double pointer. I hope this answers your question.
Well, I was curious. I mean, regularly in R you call C functions, and the, all the arguments must be, you know, in, you cannot pass by value. You have to write in points. You see. On the C side, and so you can call from outside. And how about the travel? Is this still this kind of limitation if you use a travel framework?
Okay, so in terms of the interface and the fact that you have to take it as pointers on the C side and you pass in specific objects and normally GNU-R does copying in between. And that is not necessary in Truffle. So it really, the object goes in all the way to the point where it's actually used.
So is it held in memory, like R is doing in memory, so the object will be held in memory in R, as well as in JavaScript or Ruby or in C, C++? Or is it we just passing the pointers in between?
Yeah, in a sense, it's as if you were able to pass the pointer between all the languages. There's no copying needed in between.
Yeah. So if I delete my object in C, C++, then what happens to if I'm trying to access it in
R? Well, then, okay, so if you delete the object, if it wasn't a C object before, then the deletion is going to result in an error because you cannot delete an object that's not coming from C. And if you delete something and then use it in R, that's not good, I would say. But that's not valid in terms of C or C++ semantics.
Yeah, but is it going to crash like if I have a program, so is it going to crash like this?
Can I interrupt the discussion here rather rudely? I'm sorry. Perhaps continue it after the session because we're running out of time. So let's thank Lucas again.